We are good to go. Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to call the Wednesday, August 25th, 2021 meeting. Carrie, may we have a roll call?
Yes. Director Villa?
Here.
Director Replogle?
Here.
Director Gibson?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Austin?
Here. Okay, if you all join me in the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation,
indivisible. All right, very good. Agenda review. Is there anything anyone wants to change or pull on the agenda?
I have nothing.
Okay, so we'll accept the agenda as presented. That brings us now to public comment, item number five.
Do we need to have a vote on
that? We don't need to vote when it's...
when there's no change on it?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. That brings us to our public comment for matters that are not on the agenda. So, Carrie, do we have any public comment?
Yes, and just to remind the public, please hit the raise hand button if you're on your computer, and if you're on your... phone, please hit the star, then 9 to notify us that you have public comment. And I have one hand raised so far, and I am going to unmute Ms. Castellanova.
Going to unmute myself. Can you hear me? Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. The Oceano Beach Community Association last month had a very successful community cleanup. We went downtown. We had a dozen people, and a lot of neighbors were involved. We basically cleaned up the homeless de facto camp that is happening downtown, right next to the church. It was wonderful. We had provided, you had provided a big container. Thank you so very much. Tony was there and he helped. And thank you, Tony. He was wonderful. And a lot of neighbors came out. And that morning when we went there, actually, the container was almost full. The homeless people had come out from their trailers and the cars and their wagons and got rid of most of the trash. So we just did the details and it looks pretty good. Now, it's not that we're going to take care of the homeless problem. I understand that. However, we saw that two things we can do. We need to provide a permanent trash can, a big trash can for them to use because they don't have any. That's why they're throwing everything out in the street. And number two, we need a portable toilet. Actually, we need a poop patrol. That's what they call it in San Francisco. We need to clean up that site. It is very unhealthy. It's polluted with the human waste. I'm bringing it up to your attention. Please help. Provide a toilet if you can, or address people who can provide that, and a trash can. And let us get the poop cleaned up for everybody's sake. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Lucia. Is there any other public comment?
And with that, President Austin, that was the last hand I had raised.
Okay, thank you. That brings us now to our special...
Excuse me, President Austin, perhaps Mr. Clemens could address who might be able to help with trash and a toilet service, if that's appropriate. I think that might be the county. Mr. Clemens?
So which location are we talking about specifically?
17th Street.
We're not really in the business of providing toilets. I could contact the county and see what programs there might be that would do something similar. We certainly can, provide roll-offs and a trash can if needed. That's, within our solid waste purview. But I can check with the county on the other, on a toilet.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Clemens.
Thanks, Mr. Clemens. This is Director Villa. Because they do need been walking by there, and our cleanup was not too long ago, about 3 weeks ago, and it's already looking pretty bad with the garbage, whatever they, you know, use, containers, plastic containers, paper, it's all over. It's looking kind of ugly again. The big bulky items, there's not many of those like there was before the cleanup, but they're just throwing the garbage everywhere. And it really does smell bad. And there is, I believe, human feces, animal feces for sure, on the sidewalks. And it smells really bad. So hopefully something can be done to clean it up, because I know that, you know, it's, some people say, well, we can't just make them all happy and comfortable there, since it'll just draw more homeless into that area. But until they are placed somewhere else, or they decide to go somewhere else, they're in our community. And I think they're going to be here for a while. It doesn't look like they're going away soon.
Thank you. I believe, you know, we probably shouldn't discuss this too much, but as part of Commander Wells' presentation, I believe there is an ordinance that prevents overnight camping in Oceano. And so maybe the challenges with enforcing that ordinance, I don't know.
Okay, let's move on then to our special presentations and reports, which we will, is Sheriff Commander Wells here tonight? Commander Wells?
Yes, I just unmuted Commander Wells.
I'm here, can you hear me?
Yes.
So the topic of the day for me the last few days, and actually the last couple weeks, has been the homeless issues in Oceano. I'll give you a brief rundown of our activities from a law enforcement perspective, and then I'll talk about the homeless problem and some solutions that we've been working on at the county level also. So for the month of July, we had 1,149 calls for service. That's quite an increase for just the Oceano area. Generated 98 reports. 26 cases were filed with the DA for prosecution and 19 arrests. Just to recap a little bit on the fireworks for the month of July, 75 calls for service related to fireworks. And then of special note related to homeless issues, they're classified when we have people that call in and complain about issues related to illegal camping and things like that. Those are classified as a county code violation. And we had 18 calls in the month of July for county code violations. So as you've probably heard in the local media, the county has stood up a safe parking location on Kansas Avenue. I think it's getting some attention, and there are some people moving. I know of one former unhoused resident from the Oceano area that has moved their vehicle up to the Kansas Avenue location. It's cost-free. There are showers available, picnic tables. They have bathroom facilities, and they have on-site security for the check-in process. Some of the details, they're allowed to stay at night there for 28 consecutive days, and then they have to sign a contract asking for another 28 days at that point. But it is not a day use. They're not allowed to remain during the day. It's really intended to be a safe place to park and sleep at night. So that may evolve in the future. I know that there's discussions about dedicating some space somewhere in the South County to assist a little bit better, because Kansas Avenue is kind of far away from South County for some of these people with their vehicles that may not make it that far. So that's something they're looking at in the near future. As far as the law enforcement or sheriff's office part of this component, we've been in greater discussions with CHP to continue tagging and towing in the near future the vehicles that are unregistered or haven't been registered in quite a while. And then we're also going to start issuing citations for the overnight camping ordinance, which will start is starting tonight. I gave direction to my people to start, and that's based on some meetings that I had this week with the sheriff and some other officials at the county and the sheriff's office. So the goal of the enforcement is to basically steer people towards the safe parking location so that they have a place to go, and also to kind of minimize some of the community impact that the de facto encampments have had. And like the lady said earlier, you know, the trash and the feces and those things, that's a big problem, but it's also the eyesore and the collection of, you know, materials that, you know, I don't understand how people who don't have a place to store things can collect so many things, but that's one of the symptoms of the unhoused right now, is they seem to find value in just about anything they can carry with them. We do have a location over on Delta where an encampment has been abandoned and a lot of debris has been left behind. We're going to be working with Public Roads to get that cleaned up in the next few days, hopefully. So we have a lot of stuff going on with camping enforcement. One of the things that I personally do is have my deputies do kind of a daily survey. I do a daily survey on my way to work and go by all the encampments and count vehicles and look for the ones that are, you know, new or different, or the ones that have been there for a while. And one thing we've learned in the recent weeks is just our uptick in contact with the unhoused population has forced them to be a little more mobile than maybe they've been in the past. So where Pier Avenue can have as many as 15 or 16 vehicles parked, you know, depending on the time of day, it can be as few as 3 or 4, which is what it was consistently today. So that's just one location, but we are working really hard to try and get some resolution for the residents of Oceano. I know it's been a hot topic for me the last couple of weeks. Does anybody have any questions related to what I've talked about, or any questions for me specifically?
Yes, Vice President White, you have a question?
Yes. Why aren't those people that have mobile homes or trailers or whatever, why aren't they being allowed to use the county-owned park down by the railroad tracks at Pier Avenue down in that area? It just looks like there's always room for a few more people, and I don't know why we can't. There's showers, there's everything there. There's hookups even. Why can't they use that?
You know, that's a good question for county administration. I can certainly make the inquiry. I know they discussed creating a safe parking at the Choro campground, but that's also a revenue generator for the county. So during the high season, it's probably not as appealing because the county generates revenue from the campsite. So I think perhaps in the off season, they may entertain that idea. But I will certainly make the inquiries and find out.
It's not full right now. And I've been by on the weekends and it has not been completely full, especially at the.
That would be a question specifically for the Parks Department. So I can make some inquiries and get back to you if you'd like.
Thank you. Yes, I would.
Okay.
Anyone else have a question for Commander Wells?
Yeah, I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more about the fireworks. I didn't really notice much of a decrease over prior years. In fact, I heard some fireworks last night. But I believe you had some patrols on bicycles. So were you able to actually cite anyone for illegal fireworks this year?
Yeah, I think we covered that in a previous meeting, but we did not issue any citations this year related to fireworks. But we did have increased patrols. We had our entire complement of officers working various shifts on the 4th of July. Everybody, it was all hands on deck.
So you weren't able to catch anybody actually discharging the illegal fireworks, because you were everywhere,
we were
especially
not
on the 4th.
They are, and they're.
Do you think they were better or worse this year than last year or prior years?
I think it was consistent with prior years. I don't think it was worse. We're dealing with an area that by tradition has always done illegal fireworks, and they're very good at hiding it from us, even with bicycles and even with foot patrols that we've tried in the past. And then, like I said, we had every officer that we had available to us was working the 4th of July. And even with that saturation level patrol, we weren't able to catch anybody in the act, which is what's necessary to issue a citation.
Were any of your officers plain clothes? Seems like that might help.
Actually, we did have a plain clothes officer out in a plain car, and that we thought that would help, and it didn't make any impact either.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have questions? Okay, well, thank you very much, Commander Wells.
Thank you very much.
Good night. Is Chief Lieberman here? I imagine he's...
No, Chief is also on medical leave, so he should be back in September.
Okay. Thank you. Operations Utility Systems Manager, Tony Maricino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. So Lopez is currently at 32.5% full, which is 16,028 acre feet. We had zero SSOs in July. We are currently taking state water, and we started pumping in the month of July. So we had delivered just over 62 acre feet of state water, and we pumped just under 9 acre feet. So we're continuing to do our daily, monthly, and weekly samples. Excuse me. We had 11 work orders, 9 USAs, 8 customer service calls. We had one after hours call out. A plumber got called out to a resident for a leak past the meter, but the plumber somehow shut off our angle stop and the backside of the meter got stripped. We were able to repair that and communicate with the plumbing company's owner to call the on-call operator after hours to manipulate shutting the water off and if they have to get close to the meter next time. We're continuing to do weed abatement. We did, the district did provide the roll-off for 17th Street community cleanup between Beach and Ocean. We are continuing the sewer jet to get in, to stay in compliance with our SSMP. We had first of the month equipment runs. We're still continuing to pick up trash. We had 8 311 tickets. We had the radiator replaced on the Waukesha natural gas booster, which was in dire need. It was falling apart. A new water service was installed on Vista. There was 2 homes on the same property currently being fed by 1 meter. So it they came paid for a new service that got installed. We're continuing to raise the meter boxes that needed to be raised. Lopez Water Treatment Plant lost power August 6th for a few hours. They lost off-site power, and also the emergency generator failed. So we relied just on the district well. No issues, no system loss in pressure, any of that. We continue to do a little bit of maintenance on the analyzer for well 8 that analyzes the chlorine residual, getting the little kinks out. We are continuing to replace meters, quite a few 1.5-inch and 2-inch and a 3-inch meter in the system. Over the weekend of the 16th, somebody used a BB gun and shot one of the old fire station windows out. So we plywooded that up and we'll discuss later to get that replaced. We had a service line leaking on 22nd Street. It was an old galvanized line. We actually bored the line underneath 22nd Street to replace it, and that went really well. We slurried and paved that back. We also had a leak on Air Park on our side that we had to repair. We had to abandon the line on Wilmar as the 2430 due to a new development. The existing line needed to get abandoned and capped because they're going to be installing or building 14 new single-family residents. Did some maintenance on the jetter, the pump, replaced the oil. We had a recall on the dump truck that we got it taken care of. And also we took a load of concrete and asphalt to the recycling plant. Is there any questions?
Hey, very good. Guys were very busy.
Absolutely.
President White has a question.
Yeah, Mr. Maricino, I think it was Tuesday morning. I was on Pier Avenue and I saw the guys were jetting. I guess is what it is.
Yeah.
I was wondering, there was too much traffic to stop and ask it, but I was wondering if it was routine or if it had to do with the state parks.
No, it's routine. So we tell the state that we're going to clean our sewer system. I want to say off the top of my head, 16 miles or 15 miles a year. So yeah. We stay in compliance to prevent sewer system overflows. It is routine.
Oh, okay. I thought it might be some major problem. Thank you.
No issues, just routine maintenance. Stay on top of everything before problems occur.
Okay. And they complained when we bought the jetter.
We're putting it to good use.
That's for dang sure.
Any other questions for Tony? Okay, well, thank you very much, Tony.
Thank you.
And that brings us now to Mr. Clemens.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of follow up on Tony's report and give the field crews kind of a shout out, because there was a service lateral that was leaking across 22nd Street, which was newly paved. And typically that was a little bit more involved than we would do ourselves. And they went out and got a quote from a contractor, and it came back at $7,500, I believe, to repair that. And so Tony decided to try to bore under the street, and they were successful in doing that. So the field crews did that repair themselves and basically saved the district, you know, probably $7,000 in cost. So I wanted to give the field crew their just dues on that one. There have been some water quality issues down in the Halcyon and Kenmark Gardens area with the wells that serve those communities. That's their own wells. They're not on our system. And so the RCAC, the Rural Community Assistance Corporation, is helping those entities with a feasibility study to see what would be the best solution to address those water quality problems. And basically it happens every time we go into a drought. So it's going to be an ongoing issue. So we'll hopefully wait to see the results of that feasibility study and see how we can assist those areas in making sure their water is safe for the community. We were also approached by the city of Arroyo Grande about the possibility of entering into a similar water supply agreement that our two agencies had entered in 2009. So I had a preliminary meeting with the city manager and discussed some of the details and indicated that, you know, our board is interested in selling water that we have available on a temporary basis. And so we'll expect them to probably have that as one of their alternatives. They're going to go to the city council in September to discuss their water supply issues. And that will probably be mentioned as one possibility for assisting them in the drought. With that, I think that's all I have to report.
All right. Thank you very much. Anyone have any questions for Mr. Clemens?
Yes, I have one. What was the agreement with Arroyo Grande previously? I think you said 2009?
Yeah, it was a 5-year agreement to provide up to 100 acre feet of water. So they don't know exactly how much they want. The situations are a little bit different this time because we're hoping to, you know, in the past, it's either use it or lose it. So I think that's why they had such a low amount as far as acre feet per year, because they didn't want to pay for water that they would then just have to lose. But if we can get our Zone 3 contracts amended, that would allow them to put any water that they do purchase into storage in Lopez Reservoir. So that's going to be a benefit this time around with any agreement, is it'll be a little more secure for them. They won't just be paying for water that they're going to lose, but they actually would be able to store it if they don't use it.
And what is the status of those contract amendments?
So my understanding is it's in environmental at the county. They're going through the CEQA process. Hopefully they get that finished, and the goal is still to get those done by the end of this calendar year.
Okay. Anyone else?
Excuse me, just one other question, another topic. What's the status of e-billing?
Carrie?
Yes. Sorry, I'm coming up. Hi, yeah. So I'm working with getting on Microsoft 365 with all the emails. So that would not just be staff. I'd have to also get board members. So working with IT on getting the appropriate subscription for everyone, not just staff. So we don't have two servers. So it will be done soon. I just need to figure out that transition for everyone, not just us.
Right. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no other questions, then we'll move on to our board of directors and outside committee reports. So we'll start with Director Villa.
Yes. On August 4th, I met with, we had an IRWM meeting on Zoom for the first time in quite a while, I think like a year or so. So basically we discussed, he put us up to status on the grant money, and we're at the finalizing the funding stage between the district and local projects. And this should take like approximately, maybe hopefully in the next 2 months, the projects will be awarded and projects announced or selected. Then the round two will start sometime in March or September of 22. So that's basically for our area. We are set to receive $3.2 million, which is significant. But for Oceano, it's $275,000 for our projects. So I'm pretty confident we'll get it, and we'll be able to use it for our projects. The OAC, we met twice on, see what I do with the date, but the 19th and on the 12th and the 19th. We have two meetings. We've been having two meetings in order to be more efficient. So basically, we've continued the highlight of the first meeting on the 12th was that we appointed another council member, and it is someone you know quite well, Karen White. So welcome, Karen, again to our council, and I want to thank you for your service. She is representing the Halcyon area, and also is going to be a council member for the VACO area. So she thinks that doing both will best represent Halcyon, and I think it'll help with, unifying us and having a good relationship, a better relationship between the two councils. We also continued discussing the sidewalks, curbs, and gutter task force. What we're working on, and we've come a long way. We now have five agencies working with us, and that includes the CMR, SLOCOG, Public Works, and Cal Walks. So we're very excited that we have all these agencies with good reputation supporting our council and giving us advice. Cal Walks has been wonderful and are going to introduce us to several grants that they have so that we can, use the monies to put in sidewalks, at least the sidewalks in the main streets that go towards the school would be great for safety, and not only for students, but just for pedestrians overall. And we continue working also on the vacation rental ordinance, even though we haven't been as the sidewalks, curbs, and gutters has taken a lot of our energy, but we continue working on that. And also we are going to soon start working full force with a Peter Avenue, having a task force just like we have for the sidewalk, curbs, and gutter, because Peter Avenue, before you know it, is going to be closed, and we need parking there, and we needed to make it just safer and more attractive for everyone. That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there Director Gibson?
Nothing to report.
Thank you. Vice President White?
No, we did not have a fire meeting. We still have a crew north on the, I think they're still in the Dixie Fire. And recently they got 48 hours off to rest up and refit the truck. You know, they're on, it's like 24, 24, 24 up there trying to save what they can save. So, and we did have a, I don't think it was a very big fire, but there was a structure fire call about an hour ago on 4th Street. It was a, I think, an unoccupied building. But I don't think it was a very, I haven't got a report on it yet, but our fire department has been running like crazy. The other day we had two in Oceano, one in Arroyo Grande, and the next call came into Grover, and Cal Fire covered that one for us. That's what it's like in the afternoon for our fire guys right now. Between the COVID and the medicals, and we've had a rash of traffic accidents. Explain to me how somebody can turn a car over on Aspen Street. But we've had lots
They're all
of
rollovers.
Huh?
They're all rollovers, it seems like.
Oh, it's, well, there's just a lot of traffic, a lot of school starting, a lot of, there's just a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. So they're running from one to the next. So thank you.
Thank you, Karen. All right, Director Ripogle.
I attended the IWMA meeting on August 11th, the day after the Board of Supervisors board majority voted to pull the county out of the IWMA. So it seemed like a lot of the board members of the IWMA were a bit in shock from that still. One person who was apparently not counting on that happening was the interim executive director, Hava Ogren, our former GM, who abruptly resigned that morning, the morning of the IWMA meeting. The county's withdrawal, they made their intent clear, but they didn't follow the JPA process for giving notice that they were withdrawing. So county council had told the IWMA that they're going to go back to the board for further action and an actual resolution. I haven't seen that come up on the board's agenda, Board of Supervisors agenda yet. Paso Robles representative indicated that they may also withdraw the city from the IWMA, and the IWMA board voted to have their council discuss the details of the withdrawal with county council, because it's pretty unclear to everybody exactly how that would look. There is a separate budget issue because the member cities and districts won't be able to hold 218 votes as early as was planned in that budget. So they're working on that. And Patty Toews is acting as the executive director while they're looking for a permanent executive director at this point. And I think a lot of this will be covered in more detail in item 8A further down in our meeting.
All right, thank you. I'll report on the August 4th Sanitation District meeting, and it was the update on the redundancy project, that the excavation is largely complete, and they are rebar and concrete work are expected to begin. It has begun August, and there's been, everything's been running very smoothly. There's been no major changes, no change orders, and no delays, so we're happy about that. There will be a quarterly update on the next meeting detailing everything that's going on with that program. Other than that, that's about it. Everything's running very well at the plant. So that will bring us to public comment for the staff reports and the board of directors and committee reports.
Yes, and just to remind the public, if you're on your computer, please hit the raise hand button. And if you're on your phone, please hit star and then 9 to notify us that you have public comment. So I will unmute the first speaker, and that is Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Madam President, board members. Good evening. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I'm certainly pleased to hear that Arroyo Grande has reached out to your staff and initiated a conversation about a possible transaction regarding water. Also pleased to hear that the pending contract amendment with Zone 3 would add greater flexibility to all the Zone 3 partners in terms of storage in the Lopez Lake. So that's all very positive. This morning I sent over to you a copy of the voter initiative, Measure B12, that was passed by Oceano voters in 2012. Hopefully you've got a chance to look at that. If you haven't, maybe study it in the coming days and weeks. It's quite interesting. Last night, Royal Grande City Council did meet, and they received a presentation on the NCMA 2020 annual monitoring report. They do have scheduled on September 14th a full discussion of water options for their city council to consider. And those options, in large part, would be juxtaposed to their participation in Central Coast Blue. Undoubtedly, most of you know they've had some issues with a partnership structure. But I think it actually, Central Coast Blue has larger problems, specifically in the Coastal Dunes RV Park and Campground that Vice President White alluded to for some homeless camping. Three of the five injection wells for CCB are slated for that campground. And unfortunately, while the test well was allowed, the zoning does not allow any of their injection wells. So that's a huge bar. They need to go through an LCP amendment. So that project could be stalled for some time. Most importantly is the Measure B12 that I sent over to you. And I wanted to discuss a couple things. I believe it was, again, Vice President White that at your last meeting on the 28th of July noted that the voters had taken a position on permanent water sales. And I wanted to refer you to the statement in that initiative measure. It had a number of assumptions that I think have changed dramatically. For example, it specified that Oceano, and this is back in 2012, mind you, Oceano currently uses 900 acre feet of water. Well, we know from the 2020 annual monitoring report from the NCMA, Oceano currently uses 743 acre feet. So substantially below the 900 acre foot number. Additionally, and this is kind of mind-boggling, it was projected that the future demand for water by Oceano was going to be 1,400 plus acre feet, which is virtually twice the amount you're using now. That is highly unlikely under virtually any scenario. And it further went on to suggest that as a result of those numbers, there was going to be a future shortage of 365 acre feet. And that math just doesn't work any longer. So,
Jeff, can you wrap it up, please?
Yes, I will. I'd also like to reference the impartial analysis that was prepared by County Council in 2012. And if you'll indulge me, Madam President, I would like to read this verbatim. And in the impartial analysis by the legal analysis, the measure referring to B12 may be subject to legal challenge on one or more grounds, including that it is beyond the power of the electorate to enact because the legislature has delegated to the community services district governing boards the power to sell water, and additionally because the matter the OCSD may contract with to sell water is an administrative matter, and this is key. Administrative matter. I'm concluding very shortly here. Thank you. Is an administrative matter not within the initiative powers of the voters? So I think that's very important to consider. I would ask your board to look at both the Measure B12 and the impartial analysis that I sent over. This will all play in negotiations. And in conclusion, I would just encourage your general manager to continue the conversation
with
AG to lead up. September.
Can you,
Madam President, you're interrupting me. I would have been finished some time ago. So I don't appreciate that. Thank you. I'm asking your general manager, encouraging him to continue the conversation with the Rio Grande so that they can have a more fully detailed option when their council can, AG council considers it in September on the 14th. Now I'm concluded. Thank you very much.
Okay. Is there any other public comment?
And with that, President Austin, that was the last hand I had raised.
Okay. Then we'll move on now to consent agenda, which is the review and approval of the minutes for the meeting of July 14th and the review of cash disbursements. So is there any discussion on the minutes or the cash disbursements? I see none. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda items?
Yes, just to remind the public again, if you're on your computer or tablet, please hit the raise hand button. And if you're on your phone, please hit *9. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
Okay, I bring it back to the board. Is there, if there's no discussion, may I get a motion?
I make a motion. We approve the consent agenda items as presented.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Can we get a roll call, please?
Yes, Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Replogle?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. All right, that brings us now to item 8, business items. So we'll receive an update regarding issues relating to the Integrated Waste Management Authority and staff direction as necessary. So we have a... report on that, Mr. Clement.
Yeah, just a brief oral report. I think Director Replogle did a nice summary analysis of what happened at that IWMA meeting on the 11th and the Board of Supervisors meeting on the 10th. So basically, the Board of Supervisors gave staff direction to withdraw from IWMA. There are certain things that they have to do. They have to do it by resolution. So that's going to have to come back to the Board of Supervisors and give a certain amount of notice, which isn't very long. And I think the schedule that they had shown in the staff report was that they would withdraw sometime next spring. I think it was April. But it's really unknown on the timing. The county is going to have to hire probably up to 5 or 6 staff in order to do the same things that IWMA is doing. So they're just starting that process. I doubt they're going to be successful in getting them on board that quickly. So what it's really done is left the rest of us, particularly special districts, up in the air, and on how to move forward. So County Council and, IWMA Council are meeting to discuss kind of a glide path for the county to exit and what that would look like. We haven't heard anything yet. So really what it boils down to is, you know, we have some deadlines coming up at the beginning of 2022 where we have to have some changes done in our franchise agreement to comply with 1383. We're going to have some changes done to our ordinance. So we're still, IWMA is helping us with that. We're continuing down that path with IWMA's assistance. We anticipate we're going to be with IWMA for the near term. And we'll see what the ramifications of the county pulling out are to special districts in particular. And then we'll have to make a decision as one of those special districts. I really see 3 possible outcomes where we stick with some reconstituted form IWMA. Certainly the JPA is going to have to be renegotiated. And I would hope that at that time, special districts are included and have a have more of a voice on the board of IWMA if we're to remain with IWMA. The other option would be to contract with the county for the things that the IWMA is currently doing for us. Again, with their lack of staffing, that option isn't ideal either. And then there's always doing it ourselves, which I think is probably the worst option because we don't have that staffing, and it would really impact us individually to try to do this on our own. So that's kind of where we are. We don't know a lot. I just wanted to kind of give the board an update. But there is something that, you know, we can do. Before this happened, we got an email from the president of the local CSDA chapter, and they agreed to run the election for the vacant alternate position on the IWMA board. So your board can consider whether or not it wants to nominate somebody for that alternate position. We do have one of our board members that's interested, and included in the package was that letter of interest. And with that, I guess I'll open it up for any questions or comments.
All right, thank you. Does anyone want to start with questions or comments on this subject?
I have a question, but you may not be able to answer it. To me, this whole issue seems like it's the county versus the cities. And is that in any way true? I mean, I know it's over the styrofoam issue, and a lot of there's so much politics in this. I wonder if and how we should get involved in this at all.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate statement. There is a lot of politics. I wouldn't necessarily characterize it as county against cities. There are some cities that are, like Paso Robles, considering pulling out as well. So I think it's more ideological, and gets down to what is the function of IWMA. There's a group that believes it should only carry out state mandates, and then there's some that believe it can go beyond that. So that's really the, I think, crux of the matter.
And my next question would be, if there was no integrated waste group committee, would the county have to do it? Do they have the mandated responsibility for it?
Yes, they have a mandated responsibility for much of it. But there are things, so regardless of who does, mostly this is with respect to reporting to the state, also hazardous material collection. You know, there's a lot of things the IWMA does for us that we probably don't even realize. But regardless of, you know, whether it's the county or IWMA, this new law, 1383, is going to put a strain on us as far as staffing goes, because there are certain things that are requirements now of every agency. And one, for example, one of the things is a waiver process. So certain customers can ask for a waiver on some of the requirements if they're limited in their space. So we're going to have to develop a process for that. And I'm sure there's some other items that I'm not quite aware of yet that we're going to have to take care of as an agency. And so what that means is our franchise fee that we cut in half we may need to increase that back to the 10% to fund the extra work that's involved. You know, part of me wants to say, well, let's just divest of our garbage power and let the county take care of garbage in Oceano. That is an option. But then what you're going to do is you're going to lose all your garbage programs that are so, you know, really valuable, because the county's not going to do that for you. Yeah. So, you know, that's the easy thing to do is give up your garbage franchise, but you're going to lose a lot as a community. So hopefully we'll be able to fund these additional items that's going to be required of us.
Okay, question. Then we have to do that even with the county and integrated waste? We
certain
still have
things.
To do it ourselves?
Certain things, but there's things that IWMA will continue to do for us, like statewide reporting, hazardous material drop-offs, that, you know, that would be very costly for us to try to implement.
Yeah. But like the hazardous waste, now that's just done through the garbage companies, though. I mean, whoever runs it, but the garbage companies actually do it.
So they have certain sites where you can drop off. I believe they just opened a new one in San Miguel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
They have them, you know, at Coal Canyon Landfill.
Yeah, ours is Coal Canyon. But so the garbage company isn't doing that. The Coal Canyon people aren't doing that. The Integrated Waste is doing that.
They're funding it, yeah, through those tipping fees.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand how it worked. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, anyone else have something to say?
Yeah, if I could just expand on one of your comments, Mr. Clemens. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that there are some members of the IWMA who want to do only state mandates and others who think the IWMA should go farther. But I just wanted to point out that when the county started threatening to pull out of the IWMA, the rest of the IWMA board went along with restricting their mission to only implementing state mandates. So that's the current mission of the IWMA. They have taken away their own authority to do anything more expansive, like in the past, the plastic bag ban or the polystyrene ban. And at this point, we'll only be implementing state mandates. And again, that's because of the county's threats, which they've now followed through on anyway.
No messages.
I have a question. So there's going to be a transition period, right? For months, I'm thinking for 6 months at least, or?
Yeah, I would say we're in that transition period. We're kind of in the beginning of it, the unknown.
Wednesday.
So right now, I mean, IWMA exists and it continues to do the things that it's been doing, and we're a part of that through our MOA.
Is there any other?
Yeah, I had a couple questions. So is there, okay, so we could choose between the IWMA or the county, and are there, what are the costs? Is there, are there different costs depending on that choice, or how does that all work out?
Yeah, so the IWMA currently is funded by tipping fees collected at the landfills, and there's a, I think they call it a management fee based on number of customers. So that's where IWMA gets its funding to do all these programs. And so right now, that's the other conundrum, is they don't track those tipping fees by agency or jurisdiction. It's just tracked countywide because they have a countywide agency. Well, now if the county splits off, that's going to be very difficult to keep track now of those fees coming in, and which goes to the county and which goes to IWMA. And that's where we really need to make sure they, you know, because if we choose to stay with IWMA, we don't want our tipping fees going to the county. We'd want them to go to IWMA and vice versa. We chose to go with the county. So that's going to be a whole new reporting requirement and tracking that they're going to have to take care of at the landfills, which is going to add costs. And now you're going to have two agencies doing similar work. So there's going to be the report from the consultant indicated it would cost the county $1.5 to $2 million more for them to stand up another department to do that. I believe they're going to, it's not going to be a department, maybe a division within Public Works. So yes, costs will go up. We won't see it as an agency, but you'll see it as customers because it's going to impact your bill ultimately.
Right. And then is there a way to know, or do you think all the cities will remain with the IWMA, or do you think some will go with the county? Is there any way of knowing that?
There's some question about what Paso Robles will do, but I would imagine most of the cities would try to reformulate the JPA for May.
And what about special districts?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know, because we're all in the unincorporated areas of the county, so some may choose to go with the county and some may not. Or I don't even know what it, maybe legally we have to do one way or the other. I just don't know that yet.
Huh. And with, say, you know, maybe half the cities go with the county, or, you know, they get split up. Does that really affect anything as far as the financials?
What was that question now?
Well, if a lot of the special districts or whatever go to the county, okay, is there any financial advantage with that, or is it just?
I can't answer that at this time.
Okay, so our timeline is when, in beginning of 2022.
Yeah, so I think we're going to be with IWMA at least through the early part of next year, and then we'll know better what the impacts are going to be. So hopefully we get all this 1383 stuff behind us before that happens. But it's a little chaotic, to put it mildly.
So would there be any advantage to waiting a month or two to get more information?
Oh, yeah. We're not going to be making any decisions this year.
So we don't have to decide anything tonight. That's my question.
No. The only thing that you may want to consider is they're going to have the election for the current vacancy on the alternate position for authorized districts. And they're going to have that election. We're supposed to submit them by September, mid-September. I forget the exact date.
Okay. And do you see a preference as far as yourself, with, you know, since you have all the information?
I don't like to personally upset the apple cart, so I like to usually stick with what I got, unless I have a compelling reason to do something differently.
Okay. But until we know more details, things could change. Okay. All right. I think that answers all my questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Just had one more little question.
Okay.
Are there places in the county where the community service where there is just the county runs the garbage? Or do all the community service districts have garbage? I mean,
no, the county runs garbage. Actually, it does for Los Osos CSD. because the CSD lost that in the bankruptcy. But the county also does the unincorporated areas outside of CSD boundaries that haven't, that have not, what's the word I'm looking for, enacted their solid waste powers.
Okay, so the county does supervise some garbage collection already.
Yes.
According to the consultant's report that was presented to the county, it's about 25% of the population of the county that is covered by the county itself.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think most of that's in Los Osos, probably.
It could be up east of Arroyo Grande, too.
Yeah.
A lot of country up there that isn't in the city or...
And out, you know, Chandon, Paso Robles, rural areas.
The east side of the county.
All right. Are we ready to open for public comment on this item?
Do you want us to make a nomination today?
That's up to you completely.
Well, we're going to have public comment right now.
Okay.
I asked for that first.
Okay, yes. And just to remind the public, please hit *9 if you're on your phone. And then if you're on your computer tablet, hit the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
Okay, then we'll bring it back. So we have the item number one, the recommendation. I don't think we want to do anything on that, right?
It's more of an update. And if what you wanted me to do something, you could tell me to.
Okay. So then the other item number two is consider nomination for the vacant district alternate member, authorize general manager to cast a vote. So is that something the board wants to address tonight?
I'm in favor of waiting until we have more information.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments about them?
Well,
Director Villa. Well,
Cynthia is, we received her bio. But if the majority of you would want to wait, I'm fine with it. We'll do
Cynthia,
it next
time. Do you have anything to add on this tonight? Director Rapogo?
I would appreciate the board's support in nominating me as the alternate. The deadline to submit nominations is coming up soon, so I don't think we're going to have that much more information on the whole IWMA issue by our next meeting. So I would appreciate your support tonight. And if you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer them. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So what would we like to do? Do you want to nominate Director Rapogo for the...
Okay. I motion to nominate Cynthia Rapogo for the alternate position for the Integrated Waste Management. IWMA, Integrated Waste Management Authority.
Okay, is there a second? Nobody wants to make a second? Okay, well, it looks like we don't have a second, so we'll kick this off, I guess.
Thank you for your support, Director Villa.
You're welcome.
All right, let's move on to consideration to approve the final 2021-22 budget.
Thank you, President Austin, members of the board. So in item 9A, we have the hearing for the final 21-22 budget. So just a short recap. The preliminary budget was approved on June 23rd which established the revenues and expenditures. Then at the July 28th meeting, the encumbrances from fiscal year 2021 were approved. And then here today in front of you, we have the revenue, expenditures, encumbrances, and reserves for your consideration in the final budget for fiscal year 21-22. So the use and additions to reserves are summarized in the staff letter on page 34 of your agenda package. So the increases and decreases to reserves include fund balance available, which is the previous year's savings. So it's last year's budget savings, which is carried forward. So the general fund, just a quick summary, $41,056 of reserves will be utilized, along with $49,948 of fund balance available from the previous year will be utilized to fund fire and lighting. Then in the facilities fund, $18,905 will be added to reserves based on our assumption of $15,000 being collected in public facilities fees and $3,905 in fund balance available from the previous year. So then in the enterprise funds, $431,640 will be added to water fund reserves based on the fund balance available from last year, most of it, and then also the new water rates approved in October 2020. So then we have the wastewater fund, which will add $112,192, and that is based off the fund balance available from the previous year, most of it. And then in the garbage fund, we'll only use $4,329 of reserves. And that's based on the prior using the prior year's fund balance available and the resolution 2020-02, which reduced franchise fee payments from South County Sanitary from 10% to 5%. So with that, the next steps is to give staff direction on any changes or questions. And then the final approved copy from tonight will then be provided to the county auditor and the local agency formation commission. And with that, that concludes the staff report. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Gary, are there any questions for Gary? Anyone? I think we're all good. Let's open this for public comment.
Yes, and just to remind the public, we please hit the raise hand button if you're on a computer or tablet, or hit the *9 on your phone if you're on your phone. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
Okay, then we'll bring it back. And is any other discussion? If not, I'll look for a motion.
I'd like to make a motion. We approve the, I'll get it right, approve the final 21-22 budget as presented.
Second. Okay, moving second. Let's have a roll call vote, please.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Applogle?
No, and I would like the record to reflect that I continue to oppose continued deficit spending on the Five Cities Fire Authority after the voters did not approve the special tax measure.
Thank you. And then, excuse me, President Austin.
Yes. All right. That brings us down to, do we have any written or late written communications, Mr. Clemens? Okay. Any discussion on future agenda items?
Yes, I have a couple of things. First, on the IWMA alternate nomination, not looking at the letter from the CSD Association, the nominations are due in by September 15th. So do we want to bring that back for discussion at the next meeting? Director Gibson indicated she wanted more time.
When is our next meeting? Is it before September 15th?
Yeah, that's the only meeting before the 15th.
September 8th.
I have no problem bringing it back on September 8th if the board wants to. That's fine with me.
Yeah, because circumstances could well change between then and now.
Yes, that's everyone agrees. I think we can bring it back on the 8th.
Okay, thank you. And then the other thing, Mr. Clemens, we had sent a letter to the county asking them to consider an ordinance on social host liability for illegal fireworks. And I believe the county's response was that they wanted to wait and see how this year went for the 4th of July. Now we've heard from the sheriff's department that it really wasn't any different than the prior years. So I wonder if it's appropriate to follow up with the county somehow, or do we need to put this on the agenda to maybe send them another letter so that this will come back on the radar? Or how would you suggest we proceed?
Yeah, I think my recollection of their response was they wanted to wait a year. Now, I don't know what that means. If it was a year from that response, I think that was earlier this year. So they may still want to wait to see, like, through the holidays and New Year's, the impact. So it's certainly up to you if you want to bring that back. But my guess is they're waiting till a year after they responded to us.
Okay, maybe I misremembered it then. I thought they wanted to see how this year went for 4th, since we had changed our ordinance.
Yeah, it was, we want to wait a year. Now, what that means, I don't know. But I'll look at the language in their response, but that's what I recollect.
Okay, thanks.
Adding to that, if they're going to do something, they need to do it before the 3rd of July. Yeah, and I will add that, you know, that Bakersfield has those rules and regulations, and it could not have been any worse. Last 4th of July, it was the worst my cousins have ever lived through. And he had a 81-pound pit bull on his lap. So wasn't pretty in Bakersfield.
All right. With that, I guess we will, with nothing else, if there's anything else, we will have a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
I second.
Okay, all in favor? Okay, good night, everyone. We'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Night.
Night, Chase.
Hi.